Though the mark of the Spirit is in the heart, it is made evident as we bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Untold, utterly indefinable blessings belong to God's people. A blessing is something that comes from God for His glory, and it comes to you for your good, and is to be channeled through you for the good of others. Untold, indefinable blessings belong to God's people, and there is no greater certainty or guarantee in all the world than that they will actually be the recipients of those blessings. God is reliable. He is dependable. We can expect that what He has promised, He will produce. And what He gives, He will never retract. And I believe that's the theme of Paul's emphasis in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 in particular. Every one of us should thank God for the sure and certain blessings that belong to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should be motivated to stand in a continuing relationship of love and obedience before Him on the basis of those blessings. In this passage, Paul gives a twofold basis for the Christian guarantee or certainty. And he relates it in this context to the ministry of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And in so looking at the Holy Spirit in those two verses, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, he gives to us a twofold basis for the Christian guarantee or certainty. What does he say about the Holy Spirit? He says, number one, that he sealed us. That's verse 13. And then he unfolds for us three steps in that verse in every person's spiritual biography, every person's salvation experience, and he ends it with that phrase, he sealed us. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Number one, he sealed us. Number two, he says, he secured us. He made us secure. He becomes our earnest, and we'll explain that term, and most of you are in one way or another probably already somewhat acquainted with that term. In verse 14, he secured us. He makes us eternally secure by his very presence in our life. One, he sealed us, verse 13. Two, he secured us in verse 14. As I look at verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, that is, in the Lord Jesus Christ, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There are really three ideas in that verse that kind of unfold every man's spiritual biography. It's a description of precisely what happened to you and I as we became Christians. The Bible says you heard, you believed, you were sealed. Can you see them there in verse 13? You heard, you believed, you were sealed. Those are three steps in every man's spiritual biography. If you're saved, you went through every one of those steps. If you haven't yet gone through them, you're not saved. Those three steps can be expressed in this way. First of all, there's something intellectual here. You heard. And then secondly, there's something volitional. You believed. And then thirdly, there's something spiritual. You were sealed. First of all, Paul says there's something intellectual in a man's spiritual biography. You heard. And he says what you heard was not just something philosophical. It was something theological. It was something spiritual. So he says there's something intellectual. You heard this message. And he gives us the character and the consummation of the message. But he says there's something volitional. You believed it. You believed it. And there's always a response. There's always some activity of the will when biblical faith comes into play. If we really have faith, it's going to move and prompt our will. In Paul's mind, faith means total acceptance and absolute trust. It means being utterly sure that what Jesus said is true and staking everything that we have in time and eternity on that assurance. And that is exactly what the Ephesians had done. And that's what every one of us has done if we're saved. We heard the message, we agreed with the message, and we totally surrendered to the authority of that message and of that Christ over our lives. And we received Him by an act of our will. That's faith. Paul says that's what the Ephesians did. You heard, that's intellectual. You believe, that's volitional. And then you were sealed, that's spiritual. You were sealed. You notice he says there in the latter part of verse 13, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That is, with the promised Holy Spirit. What does it mean for the Holy Spirit to be our seal? Do you notice he says you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise? What does that mean? Sphragizo is the Greek word, seal. It was a very powerful word in the ancient world. And it really spoke of four things. Let me give them to you very quickly in outline fashion. That seal, that concept of a seal, and the Holy Spirit is himself the seal in our lives, spoke of four different things. One, it was a sign of a finished transaction. In the ancient world, a seal was a sign of a finished transaction. Even in our day, when legal documents are processed, they are stamped with an official seal to signify the completion of the transaction. The seal was always a symbol of a finished transaction. So the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, has taken up residence in our life. And it's evident by the impact that he makes on our life. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is a seal or a sign that Jesus Christ's finished work has been completely and finally and permanently and eternally applied to each one of us. It's a picture, a sign, or a seal of a finished transaction. But then it also meant it was a sign of ownership. In the ancient world, a seal was not only a sign of a finished transaction, but it was also a sign of ownership. An item bearing the seal of an individual confirmed that that individual owned the item. And so we have the seal of the Holy Spirit, and that's a confirmation that God owns us. We belong to him. Paul says the indwelling Holy Spirit represents the divine brand upon you and me. It's the mark that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the indisputable evidence that we belong to him. He makes an indelible mark upon our lives, a significant impact, and that is proof positive that we belong to God. In fact, Paul was so sure of this, he could say in Romans 8 and verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. It's a sign of ownership, the seal was. The Holy Spirit is the seal. Sign of a finished transaction, sign of ownership, the sign of security. The seal on anything promised protection of that item. For example, when the tomb of Jesus was sealed, same concept, same idea here. When the tomb of Jesus was sealed by Roman authorities, it was sealed in order that it might be secure and protected from invasion. That seal was a symbol of protection, of security. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit provides every Christian with security and protection against the powers of evil. 1 John 4 and verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Thank God for it. 1 John 4 and verse 4, it's a seal or a sign of security and protection against the powers of evil and against the soiling infections of sin. We're taught in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 7 and 8, that God's Holy Spirit enables us to live a holy life and it liberates us from the soiling infections of immorality and corruption all around us. And then finally, the seal was a sign of authenticity. In the ancient world, it was a sign of a finished transaction. It was a sign of ownership. It was a sign of security or protection. And it was a sign or a mark of authenticity, a proof of genuineness. The seal of a man impressed upon a letter gave assurance that that letter was authentic, that it was true and genuine instead of false and spurious. Is this a genuine document, a man would ask? Look at the seal. Does it bear the man's seal? If it does, it's a sign of genuineness, of authenticity. So what does Paul mean to teach us by that? Paul says the distinguishing mark between a professing and a possessing Christian is the undeniable impact of the indwelling Holy Spirit in his life. Though the mark of the Spirit is in the heart, it's not upon the surface like on an envelope. Though the mark of the Spirit is in the heart, it is made evident as we bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Are we genuine Christians? I guess the answer to that question requires another question. Is there any evidence in our lives that God's Spirit is at work in our lives? Is there any evidence? We can parrot the testimonies and we can quote the calendar date, and we know the time when we walk the old sawdust trail, so to speak, and we know the Christian lingo, but is there any evidence that the indwelling Holy Spirit abides in our heart, that he has control of our lives, that a powerful moral and spiritual dynamic has come down into our Christian experience? More precisely, do you know what the Holy Spirit does in a Christian's life? Let's be a little precise about it. I'll give you just an outline, just the outline with a verse of Scripture for each one. Whenever God's Spirit is at work in the life of a Christian, it means that a Christian will be eight things. It means, number one, that he will be joyful, Ephesians 5:19, singing and making melody in his heart. It's a result of being filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. He will be joyful. Are you joyful? Singing and making melody in our heart. A Christian will be thankful, Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks unto the Lord, Ephesians 5 and verse 20. He will be humble, Ephesians 5, verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, a humble spirit. You know what that is? That is evidence up on the surface that God's Spirit lives in our heart. That He has jurisdiction over our life, that He's controlling our will and our minds and our behavioral patterns, that we truly are new creatures in Christ. Christians will be joyful, Ephesians 5:19. They will be thankful, Ephesians 5, verse 20. They will be humble, Ephesians 5, verse 21. They will be spiritual, Galatians 5 and verse 16. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That is to say, you won't live by the promptings, the impulses of the fallen nature, but you'll live by the impulses of the divine nature that God's placed within you. Christians will be vocal, Acts 4 and verse 31. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness, not abrasiveness, but with biblical boldness. They'll be vocal. They'll be agreeable. They'll have an agreeable spirit. Philippians 2, verses 13 and 14. God's at work in us. How is God at work in us? By His Spirit. And what's the evidence that God is at work in us? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. They'll be agreeable. And they'll be powerful. Acts 1 and verse 8, the scripture says, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts 1 and verse 8. And they'll be fruitful. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. When you live by those principles, you don't have to be under law. There's no law against those kinds of things. In fact, there's no need for a law when you live by those principles. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Those are the visible evidences up on the surface that God's Spirit is at work in our hearts down underneath. I wonder if these are the ingredients that are evident in our lives. Are we genuine? The seal, which is the Holy Spirit Himself, in the heart, the seal is an evidence of authenticity, a sign of authenticity. Let me ask you this as I close. Is there any evidence up on the surface of the Spirit's presence at work in your life? He's the seal. He's the evidence of genuineness. Is there any evidence up on the surface of the Spirit's presence at work in your life? Are you joyful? Are you thankful? Are you humble, submitting to one another? Are you spiritual, walking in the Spirit? Are you vocal, an obedient messenger for Jesus Christ? Are you agreeable, doing all things without murmurings and disputings? Are you powerful? Is God at work in your life? Are you fruitful? Is there any evidence that God's Spirit is at work in your life, or is His presence stifled and is it quenched?
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior, and as you believe, you will be sealed until the day of redemption.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.